Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 387. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local.
I got to ask right off, Ross, is anybody currently licking your face?
No, there are no puppies on me right now.
No puppies licking your face right now. Okay.
No, I'm sure she'd like to be a cat and just curled up on my desk or on my keyboard, but that ain't happening. She does not want to leave me alone. Yes, I got my first puppy. It's a beagle. I won't bore everyone with all the details other than it's absolutely adorable. And she's...
Its name is Holly, right?
Yes. Yes,
her name is Holly. So we don't have to call it it anymore? We can just call it Holly?
Yes.
Okay. And we're getting our puppy, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday. We're getting our new puppy too. So it's going to be new puppies all around.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's either buying puppies or doing home improvement projects right now.
You can't afford both.
Well, I would say that, except I'm being forced to do both.
Oh, ouch. That's true. I guess that's true. All right. Well, that said, it's pretty fun. It's cute. And I'm tired.
Beagle was a good choice, by the way.
Thank you. I'm very happy with her too. Just wish our lawn didn't have fleas. We're having some problems with that. But anyways, start with some other non-SEO news, but it is important. It's close enough that it is certainly related. Anyone who does e-commerce online will want to know about this. And that is that Google has made buy on Google free for retailers. So what does this mean? So when you're doing a search and you see just in universal search results, an option to buy a product right from search results, that is now going to be commission free for retailers. Obviously, it's not something that you're necessarily going to get that visibility. It's just like it is a form of SEO, I guess, not an area I specialize in. So I'm sorry I can't comment on it, but maybe something we'll get to at some point. But,
As per, you know, par for the course, I did not read this article. Did it say anywhere why they're doing this? Because it seems like it's a nice thing to do, but Google's not usually known for doing nice things just because it's nice.
Oh no, it's double-edged sword for sure. So First of all, yes, you're removing the commission fees, but and the idea is to make it easier for retailers of all sizes to sell directly on Google. That's the quote. However, the double-edged sword is that yes, you might get that sale, but that means the person's never gone to your website, so there's no chance to do upsells. You don't have that traffic, and you know, no chances to get them on newsletters, all that kind of thing. What was the other stuff here?
Now, is this for direct sales only, or is this something the affiliate people are going to try to jump into?
Direct sales only.
Okay.
Yeah. So also, you have to you're staying within Google Search to do this, which is great for them for their ads on the right, all that sort of stuff. Really, it's not a bad thing if you want that exposure. These days, everyone needs the sale, no matter what. It's a competitor for Shopify and PayPal, in the sense that you know you're going to get exposure here versus having to pay these other guys. So Google's brilliantly bringing up another way to make some money. Yes.
How is it a competitor for PayPal and Shopify? Shopify is a hosting service that also provides e-commerce.
The fact that there is no commission. Google's not charging you any percentage or anything on that sale, whereas PayPal and Shopify do.
Gotcha.
That's the only the deal as far as I can
see. So it's basically, it's also competing No, I guess not. Is it the PayPal thing confuses me more than anything, because PayPal takes a percentage of the sale just like every other credit card on the planet, right? So why aren't they also saying it's a competitor for MasterCard?
Well, because PayPal isn't a credit card company. at least not from my experience. It's
okay. So let me change it from credit card company taking those commissions to every other payment method. You know, everybody who has a payment method on their website, they're paying some commission to whoever, you know, provides that payment method, whether it be one of the third party payment processing services like a PayPal, but there's lots of those. I'm just curious of why they're calling it a PayPal.
This is just the Search Engine Journal article that brought those two.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not the Google thing. It just shows that this is one of the benefits of it. It's a very decent article written by, going to get to it at some point. Oh, it's darn log pages. Roger Monty, of course.
Roger. Yeah. We need to get him on the show. We really do.
Sorry, I'm incorrect. It was Matt Southern. It's one of these endless loading pages, so it's confusing.
I still want to get Roger on the show. That doesn't change that at all.
No, not at all. And Matt would be great, too. Yeah. A lot of people we'd like to do, and we just never get around to it. To get on the show would be great. Okay, well, so that's of interest for anyone in the e-commerce realm. I think it's something to consider. Now let's jump into some more direct SEO news. So
mobile first indexing. Woohoo.
Yeah. So this is something we've all been waiting for Google to say. It's finally done. Everyone is now on mobile first, the mobile first index. Desktop is relegated to, I don't know what, the ether. I mean, idea here is that it's all about rankings for mobile first. However, Google's decided to not complete the rollout this summer 2020, frankly, because they're still seeing a lot of issues. There's still too many people that would just suffer from this transition, and
they've said a while now that, you know, they're not transferring people to mobile first until they're ready, right? Till the website is ready. And there's a lot of people out there that either don't know how to make their website ready, don't have the budget to pay somebody to make their website ready, or just think, hey, it's working now, why mess with it, right?
Yeah.
Those are the people that are going to be hurt. And I'm glad Google recognizes that, you know, these people need more time as well.
And this all heralds back, in my opinion, to the days of the Florida update where they really damaged businesses.
Oh, yeah, big time. You know?
So
what year was that? That was like...
Isn't that like 2003 or something?
I was thinking six, but it could be three.
I don't know. It all blurs together to me.
Yeah, it does.
There's a long list on the official Google article, which is titled Prepare for Mobile First Indexing, brackets with a little extra time. It came out Tuesday, July 21st. You can find that on the webmasters.googleblog.com. Barry's done a good job of creating a sort of abbreviated list of the things that they're concerned about. And these are things that we should all be looking at on our sites. So one is robot meta tags on the mobile version. Lazy loading on the mobile version. So that means that anything that might be big or anything that could slow down the load loads a little bit later, you know, so you get more of a first paint quite quickly. Be aware of what you block. Sounds like a loaded one, that one.
Yes, it does.
Make sure primary content is the same on desktop and mobile.
Can we talk about the block thing real quick?
Yeah, let me look at what they said here.
I think the couple things that I would think they were talking about, JavaScript and CSS, because there's very specifically a error that happens in Google Search Console. I don't know where to find that actually anymore, though. You used to be able to find it in the old version of Search Console, where you have elements that are render blocking is what they call them. Means that until this item loads, the full page can't be rendered, right? Yeah. So it's JavaScript and CSS that cause that problem the most. Mm-hmm. And I bet you that's what they're talking about.
It looks like you're dead on there. They talk about, this is from now the Google article with more detail here. They give an example. Blocking the URLs of CSS files will prevent Googlebot from rendering your pages correctly, which can harm the ranking of your pages in search. Similarly, blocking the URLs of images will make these images disappear from Google Images.
Yep.
So, yeah, less detailed info here, but it certainly sounds
like... And another thing about blocking is there's been studies done showing that pages that have media, either images or video, tend to do better in organic search than pages that don't have any media in the content of the page. Well, mm-hmm. if you're blocking that media, you're hurting yourself. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, and everyone has to remember that it's mobile first. Even if it hasn't, Google hasn't officially switched everything, it's still your primary focus. Yeah.
And if you don't know if you're on that or not, the best way to tell, and I'm in Search Console just so I make sure to give you the right information of where to see it, but you can see in Search Console exactly, if you go to settings in Search Console for your website, right? One of the things that you can look at is there's property settings and then there's about. Property settings are things like, well, are you a verified owner, users and permissions, stuff like that. But the first thing under the about section of your site, under the settings in Search Console, is index crawler. And if it says smartphone, you're in mobile first, Googlebot smartphone. It'll tell you the date it switched. Like the site that I'm on now, one of our sites, it switched to September 30th, 2019. If it says Googlebot desktop or something else that does not give you a switch date, you are not on mobile index yet.
Have you seen that? I don't think I've seen a single site that hasn't been done switched yet.
Ours took a while. Ours took a while, and a part of it was that why it took a while, I believe, was because some of our subdomains, in news sites, newspaper websites tend to try to recreate the old version of advertising that they had in print. So they have all these classified sections. You have jobs and real estate and autos, things that you would normally expect, 10, 20 years ago to find in a Sunday newspaper or a daily newspaper. You had that classified sections. Well, news sites do that now. And a lot of times they do it on subdomains. And what happens is those subdomains, every bit of that, jobs, autos, real estate, that kind of stuff is all duplicate content. Because you're not the only one publishing those real estate listings. You're not the only ones publishing those jobs. And we had a ton of that stuff in subdomains, and we weren't getting switched to mobile first index. We got rid of not all of it, but a significant portion of it, basically just through blocking it from search, right? And then because it's all duplicate, quote unquote, low quality content. Once we did that, it was within a month we were on mobile first.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, it's. I know that's one of the things that frustrates the hell out of me when I'm working on a real estate site. We actually have a friend of ours, my partner, who wants me to do real SEO for his real estate site. I haven't done real estate SEO in years. I shouldn't say that. There's one site we did recently that was fine, but she just wanted to do pay-per-click, so that's fine.
Yeah, but, that's fine.
Yeah, but it's just brutal because, the content is not unique. So they have to write, and they don't want to write, and they don't usually have much budget. It's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah. And just remember that not enough budget to create content, because that's going to come up right towards the end of the show.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay. Where are my notes here? Okay. So that's prepare for mobile first indexing. Some great tips there. You'll find info on the Webmaster Google blog and Search Engine Roundtable. All right. What's this next bit? This is really interesting.
Yeah. So Google My Business, I got to open up the article. I actually read this one, believe it or not.
Good. I was thinking, you better have read this. I can help you. I've read it.
Yes, you read it too. So that's why I gave it to you, to make sure you read it too. So for those that aren't really, this is how to approach this. Because the biggest change in this to me is tied to the Google Guaranteed badge, right? Yes. But that's been around for a long time. So can you tell everybody what Google Guaranteed Badge is? Because I think you know more about it than I do.
Still haven't gone through the process with anyone yet. But essentially, it's Google's way of confirming you're an actual business, that you've got a good reputation. And then they will guarantee you, and they'll put a badge on your profile within Google My Business that says, we will cover up to X amount of dollars if you have a poor experience at this business, if you're out money,
Okay.
I believe that's the Google Guarantee one. They keep changing everything, but it definitely is a vetting process. You have to go through one of their partners to have your company fairly well analyzed before they allowed you to have this badge.
Well, apparently, I don't know for sure if they're still going to do that vetting process because
they will.
Okay. Google My Business is going to be offering upgraded profiles for $50 a month. And the $50 a month basically gets you a Google Guaranteed badge. I don't know, and an upgraded business profile, which they didn't really go into detail on what that means. But this is, they've been talking about paying, we've even mentioned on the show a few times, you know, it's been, I don't know how long we've been talking about this, 6 months they've been talking about adding extra features to Google My Business.
And eventually
they're going to start charging for it. Well, they're starting to charge for it. And my gut tells me that the upgraded profile, the Google Guaranteed badge are just the beginning of the things that are going to get included in this paid listing, right? This is going to be something to keep a close eye on. Do you know if you can still get Google Guaranteed without paying the $50, or do you have to pay now? Well, right now you don't have to pay because they're just testing this out. They've only sent emails to ask people to upgrade to direct individuals. It's not an open program yet. But you know,
I wish I knew because frankly, it's always changing. There's a local services by Google, which allows you to, let me go here. What it does is it allows you to have the Google guaranteed within your paid ad.
Okay.
I have to abbreviate all this. You guys, I'm still absorbing all of this. Please don't. Yeah. I'm usually a little more up to date on this, but this is a little unique.
This news just came out yesterday too. So
yes, but this part hasn't, it's just the local services by Google, local service ads, LSA. If you're part of that already, those are the people I believe that are first getting invited to do this, which will mean that they get this visibility within Google My Business without paying. Well, they will be paying for it, but they won't be paying. It won't be a paid ad specifically. Oh, confusing. So,
and the other question I have is people that have already gone through the vetting process and they have that Google guaranteed, are they going to get to keep it? Are they going to be grandfathered in, or are they going to have to start paying $50 a month?
Well, they already, I don't know enough to know for sure, but I believe that they already went through the process. So they've already been vetted. Now they can, as long as they do their paid ads, they still keep that. But within Google My Business, and like without a paid, because there's paid ads within Google My Business, there's normal Google My Business. And right. I think this Google Guaranteed will now show up on your normal profile within Google My Business. So you'll have it in both places. But to get in both places, you have to pay the $50. That's how I understand it so far. However, if anyone has listened to the show for a while, you know how fast this stuff changes. And it's not even being rolled out everywhere. It's being tested right now. So God knows how much it's going to change by the next time we have our show. However, it is interesting. And someone we haven't heard from in a while, Matt McGee, actually piped in on Twitter and said, if you're an owner of a business, why wouldn't you do this? And it's true. For $50, why wouldn't you if it's going to get you more business?
You wouldn't do it if you already have it.
Well, no, you already have it only if it shows. It only shows up in Google Ads for local. If you have it. This will allow you to show it in your normal Google My Business.
Gotcha.
That's the key.
On maps as well as ads.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. Yeah. So... I don't know. They're going to have to make this a whole lot less convoluted.
Google makes things.
just an example, you know, they do insurance checks, background checks, business license checks. They have advanced verification for really shady companies like locksmiths and probably plumbers and HVAC, you know, companies that have had a history of spamming. I know locksmiths are the worst offender. At least in the past. They say that You will use, here it says, before running any background checks, the background check partner, whoever they are, will give each individual the opportunity to review the necessary disclosure under state, federal, county, country, or provincial laws. The background check partner will also ensure that each individual agrees to the terms before conducting the checks. This is very private, confidential, blah, blah, blah. And if you fail it, you can reapply 30 days later, assuming you've fixed whatever issue is showing.
Right. Okay. It'll be interesting to watch this, see what happens.
And most importantly, there are no charges for the background check.
That is good. Yeah.
Seems odd to me, but anyway.
The most interesting thing to me about this, other than seeing how it's accepted or not, is what will be the first new thing that you get? What are they going to add to your Google My Business profile that you can only get if you're paying that $50 a month?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things? I mean, to me, that's where the slippery slope is. They'll start offering this really cool new thing, but you only get it if you're paying.
Yeah, like, does it influence your ranking? Yeah, right. Knowing Google, probably not.
I would say no.
It just shows that you're guaranteed.
Yeah, let's say. But I'm thinking there's going to be things that they're already offering that'll get moved under this $50 a month, like potentially. I can't remember the name of it. The thing where you can have Google's AI, call a business or not, or those kind of things.
Duplex.
Duplex. That's right. You know, if you found a way to really leverage Duplex and it's working great for you, and all of a sudden now they're going to move it under this $50. I'm not saying they are, but they could move it under this $50 a month thing, and now you have to start paying for it. That's going to make some people mad.
Yeah.
If this $50 a month thing was in place before they even launched Duplex, would they have made it publicly available to everybody, or would they have just pushed it straight into the paid service? That's the kind of thing that I'm interested to see and where it goes.
Look at my notes again. Was it Duplex that is being canceled or phased out? CallJoy, the virtual agent.
Yeah.
So similar, but not quite. Okay. Right. All right. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a new, it's not new, but some update on the indexing issues report on Google Search Console.
Actually, it is new.
Oh.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. All right, so tell us about this new report.
So we all know, especially if you've been listening to the show, because I've talked about it a number of times just because it impacted me. But Google over the past, the first half of this year has had a number of issues where they had problems indexing new content and adding new content into their index. We found out a couple weeks ago that really wasn't because there were problems with the the algorithms, it was because the crawlers were going so fast and grabbing so much information off the web that the indexing parts of the algorithm couldn't keep up, right? Well, now they've launched a new, the actual article that I read called it a report, but I think it's more a notification. And it's a thing at the top when you log into Search Console. There'll be, if Google is experiencing indexing issues at that time, there will be a blue bar across the top of your Search Console interface that basically says Google is currently experiencing indexing issues. Huh. And it'll give you a link to learn more. Well, when you go to the learn more, it doesn't tell you anything.
What a shocker. All right, yeah. Program today. All right.
However, you know, the couple times that this impacted me, I learned about these indexing problems because somebody on Facebook posted about it, or I happened to notice a tweet from Google on Twitter. You know, it's through a social media, I found out they were having these issues. This is Google in your interface and Search Console telling you, hey, we're having some problems here, be aware, which I think is a great thing. It's not going to help you solve those issues, or but it'll at least let you know there's something going on.
Yeah, that you're not crazy.
Their end, and you don't spend hours trying to figure out what's going on your end. Not that I have done that. Well, yeah, I've done that a number of times. But now at least I'll know right away that, okay, this is not me, it's them, which I think is great.
Yeah, which is, now you at least know where to direct your anger.
Exactly. Or you have something you can tell your bosses. Yeah, instead of I'm just looking into it, I'm trying to figure out what's going on, you could say, oh, Google is having problems. That's a huge thing for me anyway.
No doubt. Yeah, we've had our moments wanting to be able to say that too.
Yeah, and not just bosses, clients fall into that as well.
Yeah. All right, what's this next piece?
Now, the other one is also pretty interesting to me specifically. I don't know how much everybody would use this, but Google has added a new filter type in Google Search Console. So, you know, you can go to Google Search Console and look at all this different data, and you can filter it. You can filter it by, I want to see what's happening on the web. I want to see what's happening in images. I want to see what's happening, you know, on the different types of environments within Google. And you can filter the data in Search Console. Finally, they've added news to that filter system. The only problem with this news filter that I can see is that it only shows you news and data about your traffic and your content and all that stuff in Search Console. When you put the news filter on, it only shows you information that comes, data that comes from news.google.com. It doesn't show you anything in top stories. That data is not included. It doesn't show you anything if there's like a news carousel and you're in that. None of that stuff is included. It's just information from news.google.com, which makes it a little less useful, but it's still kind of useful.
It's an improvement, at least.
Yeah. If you're a news site, it's definitely nice to see that you have that option now, as long as you realize that it's not completely comprehensive about everything related to news.
Yeah. Cool. All right, this next one's yours as well. So what's this?
So this was kind of interesting to me. Gary Eish mentioned in a tweet that syndicated content is generally fine. And let me read you the question and Gary's answer. So a gentleman named Kevin Kevin.
Kevin Monnier.
Monnier, okay. He says, sure. Are you considering articles wrote by their partners but hosted and indexed as duplicated ones? Example, the same article hosted and indexed on partner website and via popular aggregator. Gary responded to that because he basically sent it to Methode, which is Gary's Twitter handle. He said, yes, we generally try to index one version of a piece of content, but this is best effort. If you look up some AP articles, you'll see what I mean. Syndication happens a lot, and it's generally fine.
Yeah, he's talking about Associated Press articles, which are, oh my God, they're syndicated everywhere.
Yeah, they're syndicated everywhere. Ask me sometime in your private message, and I'll tell you there's a few tips to modify Associated Press articles to make them have a potential to rank, you know. But anyway, I mean, we syndicate all the content all the time, and we syndicate it between our own sites. When we syndicate it between our own sites, we definitely do rel equals canonicals in place, so the originating site gets the credit as opposed to the, you know, syndication sites.
Yeah, which makes sense for you because it's just within your own network anyway.
But Associated Press, using Gary's example, we publish a lot of that too, but we can't. We really can't get away with using canonicals for that because we can't canonical every other media company that uses Associated Press articles, have them syndicated to us or canonical it to us. So you're going to be fighting on that one. So there's definitely times when syndication will help. And I've seen our articles, our own articles that we publish on multiple sites. So like AL.com is one of our sites, and they might publish an article in Alabama. And then someone in Syracuse decides they want to also publish that same article. They want to syndicate that article. I've seen in multiple occasions, two things happen other than what's supposed to happen, where what's supposed to happen in that case is Syracuse can show the article to their readers, but they're not going to get any search love because they've canonicaled back to the Alabama version of the site, which is proper because they're the ones that wrote the article in the first place. But I've seen two things happen in that case. I've seen Google pick the syndicated version, even though the rel canonical is in place, to index instead of the originator. I've seen them do that.
Based on the popularity of the site, usually, right?
No, I think it's more based on geolocation, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and where they think the site that's closest to the story. But that also brings up the second version of I've seen them rank both versions of an article based on geolocations. So if you're in Syracuse, you might get the Syracuse version of the article in search results. If you're in Alabama, you might get the Alabama version in search results. I've seen that happen as well. So it's if nothing else, it's proof to me that everything you tell Google is just a suggestion.
Well, they're not perfect by all means. So
yeah, you know, yeah.
Just do your best and maybe you'll win occasionally.
There are definitely, I mean, Gary says syndication is generally fine, but there are right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it.
Yep. What's new? Well, there's a reason you got hired, right?
Exactly. You need people that understand the difference between the right way and the wrong way. And this is way beyond SEO 101 to do those, you know, the right way. It's SEO in the 400 somewhere.
Awesome. Yeah. Hope to pick your brain on that sometime. It's fascinating to me. I don't get into that area much, but it's interesting. Okay.
It's fun.
I bet. So the next piece here is a local SEO news segment. We try and find some of that. So in the local search forum, Joy Hawkins is the owner of that from Sterling Sky. I always like to look at what she's been chatting about. And there's an article a thread about repeated immediate Google My Business suspension. So essentially this person has been loading up a number of locations. There's quite a few, and they keep getting immediately suspended. She has tried going to Google and saying, here's my business license. Here's a picture of the location. Here's all the things that prove it's there. Google re-enables it. And then a short time later, it's suspended again. It's driving her insane, and I cannot blame her. That would be very frustrating.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. So what this typically is you got to troubleshoot these, always troubleshoot these. There's never a simple, or rarely a simple answer. But if there is, there are a couple tools I actually didn't even know about, which is kind of cool here. I want to share. And these are from a user on there on the local search forum. His name's Bruce Jones, I assume. It just says Bruce Jones. But he suggests first validating the address using Smarty Streets. That's Smarty Streets, all one word. I'm sure you can look that up and find it. It is a free tool. At least there's a free login. I'm sure you have to pay for more. It does have pricing on there, I saw. But what it'll do is it'll validate that address you have and tell you whether or not the way you've submitted it is the way that Google will understand it. Because in this case, Google had given an error that the address, you know, wasn't correct or there was some issues with it. Let me just look and see if I can find the exact wording they used. Google said, contacted support.
I was going to say, while you're looking that up, I'll throw a question at you, unless you just found it.
I did. It said that I contacted support, including the image and the exterior, business license, business permit, and they reinstated it. And their answer the third time it got suspended was, the address used in your listing doesn't match the address of your business. You must list your business at its current location. Oh my God, that'd be frustrating. I would lose my mind. Anyway, so he said, suggest using Smarty Streets just to see if it was accurate. She did. It was accurate. So that's not going to be the thing. Then she used pleper.com, pleper.com. That's pleper.com. And it allows you to find duplicate listings on Google My Business. And in there, she did find Google some duplicate listings, but they lack suite numbers. So there could be an issue there because her locations do have suite numbers, but it's in a shopping mall. So what you have to think about there is proximity of the pins. If they're all they're similar businesses or same businesses, then proximities are the same or close. That can lead to issues. Sorry, what was your question?
No, I was just going to say the two things come to mind for me tied to this, and I haven't done any research on this, so I have no idea. One would be that if they come back and say your address is not as the same as the one that we have, that to me is an immediate red flag for duplicate listings. Mm-hmm. So I would dig there. The second thing is just to me wondering, I wonder if Google has like a list somewhere that the algorithm references for problematic sites, and somehow this site got on that list, and when they fixed it, they never took it off the list.
Mm. Yeah, or they haven't consolidated them or whatever.
Yeah. It is a very odd issue.
Yeah, sure. Well... Joy sort of followed up with a question, and this is an ongoing thread, so it hasn't completed. Her latest question and the last piece on the thread was, what industry is the site in, or are these locations in, and can the business be seen easily on Street View? Now, I would expect that if it's within a mall, it may not be easily seen on Street View, which could be a problem, although you do see business frontage on the outside of malls as well. So hopefully they have that, but if they don't, then that could be a problem. Anyway, it's interesting to follow these. I love that there's a couple new tools I didn't know about. I'll probably be passing one to our local SEO Rose to use. So the Smarty Streets and Pleper.com are great takeaways from this. And nice. Again, localsearchforum.com, phenomenal place to learn about local SEO. I really appreciate all the stuff that's on there. So check that out.
Nice.
All right. Last piece here on local is that there's now a Bright Local podcast. Brightlocal.com is what we use for a lot of our tracking and such for our clients. It's a great little tool. Now they've got their own podcast. And the latest one, they interviewed Jason Brown from Sterling Sky. I know I push them a lot because, hey, I'm not going to lie. They're great. They know what they're doing. They're on this all the time. We do a bunch of stuff at Stepforth, but they really know local and we follow them ourselves. Anyway, it's the title of it is Jason Brown on Becoming the Spammer's Public Enemy Number One, unquote. And apparently they talk about all the stuff and how to report spammers and monitor all that stuff, which I'm sure is fascinating. Joy doesn't hire anyone who doesn't know what they're doing. So I'm sure it's very well spoken and it seems to have good reviews. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a good little add on the end here I think you'll like.
And I have a complaint about our listeners.
Oh.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY Podcast System within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Okay, I love this bit coming up. This is great.
Well, first, I want to say our listeners, I love our listeners. They're awesome. They're great. But recently, we haven't been getting any questions from you guys. The questions are coming in pretty slow.
Yeah.
So head over to our Facebook page, SEO 101. You can search for it. It's easy to find. Ask us some questions. This week, I had to dig a question out of a meme that's been floating around on Facebook. So, but
that's rock
fun.
Bottom, man. That's rock bottom.
Yeah, I know. the question from the meme is, why doesn't my SEO work? And there's six or seven little reasons why. And it's meant to be funny. A couple of them are funny, but most of them are actually real problems. Oh, and I thought we'd go through them real quick, right? One, my client doesn't know what Google Business Profile is.
True. Often happens.
If they don't know what a Google Business Profile is, that means they probably haven't claimed it. They probably don't have consistent information in that profile. They don't monitor it for questions and all that stuff. They don't update it. That's a problem from an SEO standpoint. So that's one.
That's the next one is we'll trade off here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we have no budget for content, unfortunately. That's very, I get that weekly. Oh,
super common.
Yeah. And I get it. Or I hate to write. I don't want to write. Can you just get me the ranking? And I bet people almost get argumentative about it. Look, I just want you to get me the ranking. I'm like, well, I can't do that. I need your help here. It is a partnership with SEO. That is, unless you have the money to help us by getting us, if you can pay us, we'll do the writing for you. In many cases, we can. Unless you're highly technical, like a lawyer, it gets a little tougher sometimes, but other times you can also do that. So yes, content is often necessary for rankings, as annoying as it can be to do.
Yeah. Next. The next one I see is very similar to the last one. They never check Search Console, or even better, which is different, they don't even know what Search Console is,
yes.
Right? But there's a lot of great information in Search Console that you can use to improve your SEO, the error reports, for example. They'll tell you where you have problems very specifically. And if you go in and fix those problems, it's going to help your SEO. So that's a great one.
I'm glad we're finishing up here. I hear a dog howling. Okay. So why don't you rattle them off here?
Okay. Next one is spending $5,000 a month on PPC.
I'll be right down.
Search terms only.
Sorry. I thought I muted. I didn't.
You didn't. I'm just trying to figure out why your voice went to such a high pitch. But anyway.
Well, you don't want to hear baby voice. Anyway, go on.
Oh, that's true. Next, locked into Wix for 1 year. That's a problem. Hired a guy from Fiverr to do all their link building. And my favorite one, which is meant to be a joke, so don't take any personal... don't sue me, but why doesn't their SEO work? Because they read neilpatel.com. Sorry, it's part of the meme, but I don't disagree.
Yeah. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Next week, can you do that in your high-pitched voice?
No.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.